Will the House please come to order? The Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbudo. Barbudo.
Here.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blickrey.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel. Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Hales.
Here.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds. Hammonds.
Here.
Harshman. Harshman. Harvey.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jorgensen. Jorgensen. Kimball.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Millen.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley.
Here.
Pedersen.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Shepperson.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
Stubson. Teeters,
here.
Thompson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace,
excuse.
Wallace excused, Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Jorgensen excused, 56 present, 4 excused.
The prayer today is again led by Pastor Galen Huck, representing Cheyenne Hills Church. Pastor Huck.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this new morning. I woke up this morning in this gorgeous sunrise, and I just thought of your great faithfulness. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. And I'm reminded of the words of the prophet. He said in Lamentations, at a very low point in his country's life, he said, "My soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And Father, your faithfulness is great, and we acknowledge that this morning. But I was thinking about this greatness and the great responsibility that you placed on this body, that you placed on government. Genesis chapter 9 reminds us of the time you took your theocratic administration, you gave it to man and said that one man could rule over and govern another man. This is a great responsibility. Father, as we stand in this building, it represents that greatness. The seal that stands above us reminds us of the greatness of this state. The pictures that we see on the wall reminds us of great sacrifice and great courage. The men and women that are standing here are representatives of this great state. Lord, I want to take this moment and just pray for them right now. As they serve this state, Lord, I pray for their families. I pray for their businesses. I pray for their homes. God, as they have this time away, that you would take care of the details of life so they could focus, so they could make the decisions necessary. Father, I also want to was reminded of greatness, of the way you measure greatness in your economy. You said that you want to be great, you have to become the least. You want to be great, you have to be the servant of all. Lord, I pray for these servants. They are here to serve this state. Lord, ultimately, to serve you. So my prayer is this. I pray for great ideas. As they go to committees, as they stand here in this hall, that Lord, I pray for great ideas because our state, our nation needs great ideas for the issues we have today. I pray for great humility in discussing these ideas. I pray for great civility and coming to agreement and adopting ideas. And ultimately, Lord, I pray for the great servanthood that's necessary to serve one another for the greater good. I pray, Lord, that this 60th legislative session would be good stewards of the right to rule that you've given. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wait on the Pledge of Allegiance until the Dildine Elementary School kids come down and help us out with that. So please be seated. Thank you, Pastor Huck. We will proceed with our agenda. Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 15, 2010 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Momis, Representative Barbuto.
Thank you. Members of the House, today the kindergarten class from Cheyenne's Dildine Elementary School is here to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. We will have the pledge, and then they will also give their school pledge. So please join me as we welcome these young students and their teacher, Ann Carter, to the chamber. Thank you, Mrs. Carter. Thank you, children. Appreciate it. Will the House please come back to order? Thank you. The doctor of the day is Dr. Jerry Smith from Cheyenne. Thank you, Dr. Smith. Wherever you may be. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Joint Resolution number 9, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbudo, Blickrey, Kennedy, Gingrey, Patton, Peasley, Quarburg, Throne, signed Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two appropriations to whom was referred House Bill 11, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen. No, Stewart, excused, Philp. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two appropriations to whom was referred House Bill 15. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Stewart, excused, Philp. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two appropriations to whom was referred House Bill 18. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Stewart, excused, Philp. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two appropriations to whom was referred House Bill 77. Respectfully reports same back to the House that with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Stewart, excused, Philp. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, to whom was referred House Bill 109, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Connolly, Kraft, Yagi, Lubno, McKim, McComey. No, Brechtel, Dirks, Teeters. Signed, Representative Lubno, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 23, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Kimball, Lubno, Miller, Stepson. No, Zwanitzer-Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 69, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Kimball, Lubno, Miller, Stepson, Zwanitzer-Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 70, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Kimball, Lubno, Miller, Stepson. No, Zwanitzer-Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 124, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Kimball, Lubno, Miller, Stepson, Zwanitzer-Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 67, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Byrd, Kraft, Harvey, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stepson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 86, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Davison, Escobel, Landon, Millen, Shepperson. No, Harvey. Excused, Hallen and Kimball. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
Chairman Illaway, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker, I would like to re-refer House Bill 23 to your committee number two, Appropriations.
Hearing no objection, it's ordered. Chairman Illaway, would you come up here for 1 minute, please? Representative Roscoe, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. After just complaining about no one coming down to see me from Sublette County, three beautiful women from Pinedale Casey Terrell and Mariah Strike, junior town council members up in the South Gallery, accompanied by Mary Hogarty, the mayor of Pinedale's assistant. Please welcome them.
Representative Byrd, you may have privilege of the floor.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. To our left in the upper balcony, the north balcony, I would like to recognize some of Wyoming's finest citizens, the people of First Wyoming, and their person in charge, which is Tammy Gamino. Please.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. Representative Dan Zwanitzer, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I could do a quick reintroduction, one of those three lovely ladies is actually one of my very good friends and a dude who was one of our Boy State kids this last summer, sat in this very body, and one of the funniest Boy Staters I've had in a long time. So, Casey Terrell, make him feel welcome again.
Representative Roscoe, things must be a little odd in Teton County and Zablac County. But I could see that there were only two women there. Representative Roscoe, would you like to have privilege of the floor again?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My humble apologies, and I should probably just keep my mouth shut.
To be cowed by that, Representative Roscoe. But welcome again, all of you, now that we've got it straightened out. Representative Teeters, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure today to introduce a former member of this body, the good Honorable Roger Huckfelt, and I think he would like to spend a moment addressing us this morning.
Representative Huckfelt.
Mr. Speaker, what a warm welcome. Thank you, Representative Illaway. You know, I wasn't going to come with a prepared speech, but maybe I should now. Let's see. I don't know, 15, 20 minutes worth? You know, it's been an awful lot of fun, and I want to have you guys reflect a little bit on some memories that you will have, kind of like what I've got to have since I left here. I've been here the last 30, 40 minutes, and I've got to see fellow legislators and staff members and people representing industry and a lot of other folks that you miss once you leave down here. What an honor it really is to be a part of this great institution. It's truly hard to really visualize as you're sitting there now to see the impact that this room and this group of people will have on you in the years to come, especially once you get to watch it from the outside. I remember, for me, my first budget session, and I look at some new faces in here, and this is going to be your first budget session. And I think last year you guys spent more in the supplemental budget than we did the entire biennium, but that was a long time ago, too. But you've done good work for the state. I can remember when we first come down here, a few legislators and myself, and I see a few of them in here now, we were trying to do what we could to shore up businesses and bring business to our communities. So that, you know, times were tough then. We didn't talk about what we were going to do with the extra. We were trying to figure out where we could get extra. And it wasn't funding cuts to an agency's request. It was what agency we were going to keep. So you guys haven't seen some tough times, and I hope you don't get to see some of the tough times that other legislators have seen. But you've done good work over the last several years. You've put a lot of effort into making sure that the infrastructure in our state is doing well. The cities and the towns and the counties and state government, I think we've seen the legislature fund those people to build the infrastructure so that industries can come in and the citizens can grow. And I'm proud that we've been able to do that. I guess if I could give any words of wisdom is remember that there's more than just government out there, too. I looked here a couple of weeks ago at revenue forecasts, or not revenue forecasts, actual revenue collections for my community there in Torrington. And from last year's December's reports to the previous year for December, sales tax collections were down $183,000. That's an awful lot of money for sales tax collections. And that's a lot of revenue that's missed out by the cities and the counties and the state. But I want you to also realize and remember there's, for that 5% revenue that was not collected, how many dollars worth of sales weren't made to the businesses in those communities? That's something that I hope you guys take a look at this year. There's a lot of businesses that are hurting. We've done an awful lot to shore up the infrastructure. I don't know if the time's right to sit and help business. I don't, and I would hope that government does not do like it did in Washington, give money to business. I don't think that's the right thing to do personally. But I do think that we can do some things to incentivize, like what we did with the oil and gas industry in the past, to give them an opportunity to get a good foothold so that they can make it through some rough spots. We have some new industries I see that are wanting to come into the state. I would hope that we don't put them in a position where they change their mind. Taxes and fees will always be an issue. I would hope that we don't raise taxes to the point where businesses can't thrive and can't get started. Those are the things that I think the legislature can do. I look at, we tore down an awful lot of fences so businesses could come in and businesses could grow. I hope those fences haven't been rebuilt. It's just, if you look at our state, it's a wonderful place to do business and to live. And I want to tell you a little story that I heard here a while back. Oh, come on.
A little story.
It's a short one, and it comes from Speaker's backyard. There were three guys standing looking at the falls there in Yellowstone. And they were looking at the canyon that was created by all the water. And one was a preacher, and he says, "My gosh, look at God's beauty. Look at the work that he made." And another one was a painter, and he says, "Oh, what a beautiful picture this is that I could paint." And the third one was a cowboy, and he says, "Boy, I'd sure hate to get a cow out of that mess." You know, we live in this state, and in this body, you get to sit and see the perspectives from people from all over the country, just like the three that looked over the falls. When you walk away from here, remember that there's other people who have a different perspective, and remember their perspective, too. Mr. Speaker, it's been an honor to come back and say a few words, and I thank you, and God bless you all, and good luck this session.
Thank you, Roger. Good to see you. We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 5.
House Bill 5, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to insurance risk-based capital revisions.
House Bill 5, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 6.
House Bill 6, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to county officials, administrative and fiscal duties.
Chairman Illaway, there is a second reading amendment to House Bill 6.
Sorry, Mr. Speaker, I was so enamored by that presentation that I just lost track of time. Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 6. And as I indicated yesterday, that there are several newspapers that are printed outside the borders of the state, and rather than to try to figure out how to fix what we put in committee, and we didn't know that during the committee, I would move that we strike that standing committee amendment that talked about published in the state and of general circulation.
Does anyone else wish to speak on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 6? Question being called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 6 is passed. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2. What this does, if you're back on page 4, line 11, the same thing we were just talking about, it. We've already taken out the standing committee amendment. So what this does is gets rid of the 1 and goes back to 2, so you'd have it printed twice. And the second thing it does, in the present law, in the current law, it says in a newspaper printed, and they use the word printed in the county. And what this amendment would do is delete the word printed and just simply say in a newspaper of general circulation in the county. So the two different things that are going on there, the one is in some situations, especially with newspapers having such a difficult time now, in my own community, what a lot of people used to refer to as the statewide newspaper is no longer delivered to my town, and we actually get all our news from the state next to us, which is difficult. The other difficulty is that many newspapers are unable to print within their own county. They create it digitally, and then they send it to a printing operation, maybe in the next county over, to print, and then it's brought back into the county. The public policy intent is that you're getting to a newspaper of general circulation. That's the intent. The intent is not where it's printed or where it's published. The intent is that a newspaper that people will see in that county? The second issue as to the distinction between 1 and 2 times. This is an important issue. This is telling you what the county is spending their money on. And you know, I did a bill the other day dealing with a constitutional amendment, and I was really surprised when I saw the appropriation on it. It was like $32,000, because for a constitutional amendment, it has to be printed 12 consecutive times in every single county. And I complained about that. I said, well, that's a little over excessive. But then I started thinking about it, and I said, how else do people get the news? How else do people obtain that information other than newspaper? And the newspaper serves this wonderful purpose in our state. And in this situation, we should allow the citizens to see how their government works on 2 occasions. Let them see it so they clearly understand how their money is being spent. And I would urge you to adopt the amendment.
Does anyone else wish to speak? Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a question with regard to the general circulation. So those little, the generic name would be penny advertisers that are in general circulation and just delivered, those would also, and they're printed who knows where, those would qualify as a place to place these notices. Is that accurate?
Any other questions? Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, for the body's information, that question was actually brought up in Sheridan County and taken to a, I believe it went through even through a court action. And that type of paper did not qualify. It would have to be more of the general circulation. I think they interpreted that as a newspaper that required subscriptions.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative from Sheridan County is correct, entirely correct. There is, in statute, a newspaper is defined, and the word newspaper does appear in this particular statute. A newspaper is defined as that as one that has at least 500 paid circulation. So it is a paid circulation product. Thank you very much.
Any other discussion? Question being called. We are voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 6. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 6 is passed. House Bill 6 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 24.
House Bill 24, introduced by Representative Cohey, an act relating to motor vehicle registration insurance requirements for newly purchased vehicles.
House Bill 24 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 27.
House Bill 27, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to special license plates, armed forces, license plate fees, and distribution.
House Bill 27 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 44.
House Bill 44, introduced by Representative Illaway, an act relating to taxation and revenue, taxation of property used for economic development.
There is a second reading amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 44. I discussed this section on page 2 yesterday, and the third sentence beginning on line 4, stating that the exemption shall not qualify at any time following the sale or lease of such property, as amended yesterday. That sentence bothered me. I didn't know really what that said, and I thought there was some vagueness there that needed to be cleared up, so I'm offering a new sentence that would say this exemption, which is the exemption on the improvement, shall cease to apply to improvements in land amenities on real property from and after the date the real property is sold or leased by the community development organization. I think it just adds much more clarity to it, and I'm sure it's a friendly amendment.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm always honored to have the Speaker clarify, and so this is a friendly amendment.
Any other discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 44, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 44 has passed.
House Bill 44 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 46.
House Bill 46, introduced by the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects, omnibus water bill planning.
House Bill 46 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for consideration is House Bill 49.
House Bill 49, introduced by Representative Madden, an act relating to taxation and revenue, manufacturing sales and use tax exemption.
House Bill 49 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 56.
House Bill 56, introduced by the School Facilities Committee, an act relating to bonded indebtedness mill levy supplement regarding school facilities.
House Bill 56 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 64.
House Bill 64, introduced by Representative Millen, an act relating to crimes and offenses, mandatory minimum sentence for sexual abuse of a minor.
House Bill 64 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 65.
House Bill 65, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors.
House Bill 65 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 66.
House Bill 66, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to the Wyoming Governmental Claims Act.
House Bill 66, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 84.
House Bill 84, introduced by Representative Blickery, an act relating to motor vehicles, Gold Star license plates.
House Bill 84, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 88.
House Bill 88, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to public retirement plans.
House Bill 88, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 110.
House Bill 110, introduced by Representative McComey, an act relating to higher education endowment challenge programs.
House Bill 110, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 2.
House Joint Resolution Number 2, introduced by Representative Illaway, a joint resolution requesting Congress to cease and desist from enacting mandates that are beyond the scope of the enumerated powers of Congress by the Constitution of the United States.
Chairman Childers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment, I move Second Reading Amendment to House Joint Resolution 2 and urge your favorable consideration. We had a lengthy discussion yesterday about how important this resolution is, but more so how important it is to have a number of states to join us in similar resolutions or to assert our state's rights. And what I am adding to Section 2, that the rights and liberties of Wyoming and its coast states must be protected from any dangers by declaring that Congress is limited by the 10th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, and this state calls on its co-states for an expression of their sentiments on acts not authorized by the United States Constitution. And I plan on at least approaching one of the organizations that I'm on the committee that would handle resolutions such as this, and stand ready for questions.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't have any problem with the intent of the amendment. I just have, I guess, a question. If we're sending the actual copy of this resolution to only our delegates in Congress, how are other states supposed to see this in the copy of our bill?
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, as I said, I am going to approach other states by approaching the multi-state organizations that Wyoming does belong to. And actually, I would urge others that are involved in the committees that cover such issues, such as resolution, that they also approach the other states, too. I've also talked to the governor that possibly through the national and actually Western Governors Association would have better luck at it than national. But we still need to approach other places or other states to make this a much stronger resolution and have some hope of getting Congress to recognize that the way the Constitution of the United States as well as our state needs to be recognized.
Anyone else on this amendment? Question? Thank you. Question being called. We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Joint Resolution 2. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Joint Resolution 2 has failed. House Joint Resolution number 2. I'm sorry. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Joint Resolution 2 has passed. House Joint Resolution 2 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on 3rd reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 2.
House Bill 2, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to veterinarians, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 2, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd. Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman, Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi, Jorgensen excused, Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson, Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Harshman, Harshman, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Harshman, the vote is closed. 56 ayes, 3 excused, 1 absent.
House Bill 2. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 2 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 12.
House Bill 12, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to juvenile detention facilities admissions criteria, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 12, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson,
aye.
Bagby,
aye.
Barbudo,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Flickrey,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison, Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman, Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen excused, Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey, Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson. Philp excused. Korberg. Roscoe. Semlich. Shepperson. Steward. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. Harshman. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Esquivel? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes, 1 no, 3 excused, 1 absent.
House Bill 12, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 12 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 13.
House Bill 13, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to underage drinking, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 13, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
No.
Childers. Childers. Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen excused, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Korberg, Roscoe, Semlich, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. Harshman. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 47 ayes, 10 noes, 3 excused.
House Bill 13, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 13 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 16.
House Bill 16, introduced by Representative Buchanan, an act relating to private school licensing,
House Bill
being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 16, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown. Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Yes.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen excused, Kimball, Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlich,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Steward, Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gilmore, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 1 no, 3 excused.
House Bill 16, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 16 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 17.
House Bill 17, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to environmental quality, carbon sequestration, financial assurances, and regulation, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 17, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby. Barbudo. Berger. Blake. Blickrey. Bonner. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Byrd. Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen excused, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Dirks, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 ayes, 5 noes, 3 excused.
House Bill 17, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 17 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 22.
House Bill 22, introduced by Representative Anderson, an act relating to taxation and revenue, streamlined sales use tax amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 22, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner. Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen excused, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
House Bill 22, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 22 has passed the House. Next bill for consideration is House Bill 26.
House Bill 26, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to the administration of government regarding medical review panel, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 26 and urge your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, you may recall it was suggested I withdraw the second reading amendment and do it on third reading after a little more refinement, and I have done that. I want to take just a second and be really careful here because it's a third reading amendment. There's no going back. This amendment would change the language on page 2 of the bill, beginning at line 18, to read as follows. The decision of the panel and any testimony, documents, or materials submitted thereto shall be admissible in whole or in part solely for purposes of impeachment in any subsequent trial of the matter, subject to the discretion of the trial court and in accordance with the Wyoming rules of evidence. I've been over and over it. I believe the language is correct. Now, I think this has raised a little bit of concern. This is very narrowly drafted to impeachment. And impeachment is a term used in the law, in trial work, to describe a situation where a person is given inconsistent testimony or has taken inconsistent positions in two or more proceedings. Typically, it's where somebody says yes in their deposition and says no when they're on the witness stand. And impeachment would be the process of taking the deposition, confronting him with the answer that was given in discovery, and at least giving him an opportunity to explain why their answer has changed. Now, I think it's really important to understand this says at the discretion of the trial court, and the trial judge is the gatekeeper on this. It also says in accordance with the Wyoming rules of evidence, there are some rules, lots of rules about impeachment, what you can do and what you can't. But even beyond that, a trial judge is the gatekeeper. And so in the even though it says shall be admissible, in the final analysis, it's up to the trial judge to assess whether it's relevant, whether it's material, whether it's a sufficient, and I think materiality would go to whether it's a sufficient deviation that the trial ought to be confused with that. But I think we can all agree that if somebody flat out lies in one or the other, either before the medical review panel and then tells the truth in the trial, or the opposite, tells the truth in the medical review panel and lies at the trial, and if it's material, if it's a big deal, then it would be injustice not to have them confronted with that. They shouldn't be playing those kind of games. And so this leaves it to the judge as the gatekeeper to be sure that it's something that is material and is relevant to the trial. And if he determines that it is, then this would allow impeachment of either documents, testimony, or materials that were submitted in the previous proceeding. So I'm sorry to waste a lot of time on it, but I think it's really important. I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Chairman Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this addresses the concern that was brought up about this event that could happen during the review, and view this as a friendly amendment.
Does anyone else wish to speak on the amendment? Question being called, we are voting on second reading amendment. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 26. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 has passed. House Bill 26 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi, Jorgensen excused, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Lubno conflict, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes, 1 no, 3 excused, 1 conflict.
House Bill 26, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 26 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 32.
House Bill 32, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to professions and occupations, Board of Nursing, continuing jurisdiction, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 32, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Rechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen excused, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Semlek, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
House Bill 32, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 32 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you come up, please? The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 36.
House Bill 36, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to notaries, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 36, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers. Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen excused, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Semlek, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes, 2 excused, 2 noes, 3 excused.
House Bill 36, having been received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 36 has passed the House. The next bill consideration is House Bill 37.
House Bill 37, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to judicial retirement, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 36, having been read, or 37, excuse me, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Hallinan
excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen excused. Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Steward.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 52 ayes, 5 noes, 3 excused.
House Bill 37, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 37 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 41.
House Bill 41, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to school financing, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 41, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake. Flickery, Bonner,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey, Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen excused. Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson. Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson. Teeters.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
House Bill 41, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the House, House Bill 41 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 4.
House Joint Resolution Number 4, introduced by Representative Gingrey, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to remove any mandatory retirement age for Supreme Court justices and judges of other courts in Wyoming, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
And just a reminder before we call the roll, this will require a two-thirds vote of elected members of the House to pass this constitutional amendment. So House Joint Resolution 4, having been read 3 separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery. Bonner,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
Harvey,
aye. Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen excused, Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
No.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 51 ayes, 6 noes, 3 excused.
House Joint Resolution 4, having received the affirmative vote of 2/3 of the members elected to the House, House Joint Resolution 4 has passed the House. We are at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is resolved into Committee of the Whole. Representative Kraft.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill number 19. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 19, introduced by Representative Bagby, an act relating to the Department of Corrections mandatory savings account for inmates. This bill was referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Bagby, Barbudo, Blickery, Kennedy, Gingrey, Patton, Peasley, Korberg, Throne. Signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? I, Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 19 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. The Standing Committee Amendment is just simply over on page 2, line 8. It said 10% to the prisoner's personal savings account. We wanted it to say shall be credited to the prisoner's personal savings account. So it was more of just a wordsmithing there.
You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question on the amendment? Question having been called, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Bagby.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Members of the 60th, I bring to you House Bill 19, mandatory savings accounts for inmates. And I'll run through the bill right quick. If you go to line 1, page 1, an act relating to Department of Correction inmates requiring savings accounts for inmates in the custody of the Department of Corrections as specified and providing for an effective date. And then I'll drop down to 716-205, and it says payment for services performed by any prisoner under WS 716 shall be deposited in the trust, an agency account at the institution, and shall be dispersed for the purposes provided in subsection of this order. The next paragraph, page 2, line 5, is the heart of the whole bill. Unless the prisoner is serving a sentence of death or life without the possibility of parole or is subject to mandatory savings of 10% to the prisoner's personal savings account within the correctional facility's trust and agency account until the prisoner's account has a balance of $10,000. Once the prisoner's personal savings account balances reaches $1,000, the income otherwise distributed to the prisoner's savings account under this paragraph shall be distributed to the prisoner as provided through Article 5 of this subsection. And then going over to page 3, court-ordered restitution, fines, sanctions, and reimbursements for the services of public defender or court-appointed counsel, the surcharge and imposed. And number 4, remaining funds shall be paid to the prisoner upon parole or final discharge. Just a point of information, some prisoners are leaving prison broke. The state furnishes a bus ticket and one meal to wherever the prisoner wants to go. Hopefully these savings will give them a financial cushion until they find work. Some have no visible family when they are released, so they end up going to homeless shelters. If a prisoner dies while incarcerated, the money automatically goes into a trust fund as part of their property. On the average, a prisoner makes $20 per month for entry-level labor positions and up to $160 a month for highly skilled equipment operators like at the Honor Farm. These wages provide prisoners with a source of limited income and serve as an incentive. Madam Chairman, I stand for questions.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? You're ready for the question. Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 19 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill number 19 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 29. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 29, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to excise tax, taxation of specified digital products. This bill was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Anderson, Esquivel, Goggles, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Samlek. No, Edmonds, Wallace. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Anderson?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation for House Bill 29, that it do pass. There is a standing Committee of the Whole amendment, and I will get to that after we get started on the bill. This is a specified digital products bill. Just a little bit of history on this. Last year, we passed a bill concerning digital products that get us into streamlined sales tax compliance. However, if we do nothing with this bill, no revenue will change at all. If we pass the bill, then we will be taxing some digital products that are very comparable to the taxes you pay now. For instance, if you order, go down to the local bookstore and buy a book, you will pay sales tax on it. If you buy an electronic machine that records that book so that you can read it at any time and have it in your possession, that if we do not pass this bill, that will not be taxed. If we pass the bill, it will be taxed on it. And the other catch is on it, the way the bill is written now, although I'll offer an amendment, anything that you can rent and keep in your possession for 24 hours and look at it and watch it for at your pleasure rather than when it's broadcast, that also will have a sales tax. Now, just to explain a little bit about our streamlined sales tax issue that we've been a member with 23 other states that collect excise or sales tax for us and remit to the state. The figures we have, that's added just about $1.5 million to the general fund that otherwise would not have been collected. The Fox study that comes out of the University of Tennessee indicates that if all states were involved, which obviously would take federal legislation, it would increase our sales tax, including the county's tax, some $48 million that we are not now collecting because of the difficulty of collecting use tax. So that's kind of the genesis of the streamlined sales tax issue. However, we're back on digital products, which change from day to day, really, on this thing. And so if it's your pleasure that you pay sales tax on a book that you buy that gets sent to a machine that you possess, then we need to pass this bill. If not, if you don't want any tax collected on those things, then this bill needs to die in the process. I do now offer the amendment, Madam Chairman. I would move a committee of the whole amendment number one to House Bill 29 and explain the issue there. This is the one that we would remove those things that you only possess for a little short time. For instance, sir, if you get on your television and order a movie, there's two ways to receive that movie. As it comes on, just like you'd see any other station, and when it's over, the time's over, it's over. The other way is to punch the other button, which I presume costs a little bit more, so that you can look at that movie anytime within a specified period, probably 24 hours. At your pleasure, you can show it several times in that time. Well, what this amendment does is remove that from being taxable. So it'll only be those things that become into your permanent possession that will be taxed coming over the transmitted by the Internet or by electronic means. So with that, ask for any questions on the amendment. The reason we didn't discuss another amendment coming out, the reason we didn't do these in committee is we ran out of time on these issues. So they're kind of a cut and dried anyway. So we said we'll bring them on committee of the whole.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have nothing substantive to talk on the amendment. However, the references as they are printed don't coincide with my bill. Maybe the printing on my bill is in error, but delete or on page 2, line 1, there isn't any or. And then on page 2, line 3, delete rental. References are not consistent.
I'm sorry, Madam Chairman. We need to have your corrected copy. There is a corrected copy out, and that's the one we'll go by.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Anderson. Further discussion? Chairman Illaway, are you? You're waiting. Question has been called on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment is adopted. We have a second amendment.
Let me go ahead, Madam Chairman, on just a little further explanation of the bill.
Right.
If indeed you have a opposition to the bill, it would almost necessarily be one in name of economic development. And there are several states that are not going to tax these, at least one or two states that are not going to tax these digital products. And that's our choice. We'll still be in the streamlined sales tax, in compliance with the streamlined sales tax issues, whether we tax them or not. They will be collected by out-of-state sales. But the feeling for some people is that it would keep some of those types of business out of the state. If they had to collect it for state, for people that live in Wyoming and don't live in North Dakota, say, where they would not collect the tax and might not attract the business like it should. So that's kind of the minus, and I'm sure some of the others want to attack the bill on that basis, and that's fine. It's up to this body. But at this time, I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2 and turn the microphone over to Representative Miller to explain this bill.
Representative Miller.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2 to House Bill 29. This is an insertion to make it absolutely clear that it won't result in taxation of services provided by a trade association as part of a member benefit. I was in on the conversation with the department and some of these particular people, and the department said it's clearly their intent not to tax what they're doing with electronically provided information through their trade association. But he said he couldn't guarantee what some future Department of employee would do. So with that comment, we decided it was best to go ahead and insert this into this bill. And where we insert it is on page 2, line 21, after the period, and on page 3, line 23, after the period again. The new language that is inserted at both locations reads, those services provided by a trade association as part of a member benefit are not subject to the tax imposed by this subparagraph. So with that, it makes it very clear that they can't tax those benefits provided to these trade associations, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Edmonds? No. Is there a question on the amendment? Question having been called, Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill. Is there further discussion on the bill? Chairman Illoway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just have one question for the good Chairman of Revenue. Since we voted in the streamlined sales tax and Wyoming's doing all this on streamlined sales tax, how much money have we collected versus how much money would we, you know, if we hadn't passed the streamlined sales tax bill back 10 years ago or whenever we did it, how much money, extra money, have we collected?
Madam Chairman, I don't know what the total on all the years, but right now it amounts to about $1.5 million a year that would otherwise not be collected. And again, the Fox study that comes out of Tennessee said if all states were, that would be about amount, including those taxes that are collected for local governments, about $48 million per year. And that, if I'm right, does not count business-to-business transactions done by the Internet, which some would be taxable because business-to-business, some of them, that's the final sale, like office furniture, that type of thing. But many of them are for resale. Of course, that would not be taxed. So, and that's the latest study that's out on that basis.
Chairman Illoway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just to follow up. The $48 million is for all the states that are in the streamlined sales tax. Is that correct?
$48 million is for Wyoming only.
Madam Chairman, a follow-up again. That's from inception to now?
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. That is for uncollected sales per year right now. If all states were involved in the, of course, you see some of the bigger states are not involved now where a lot of those sales come arrive, New York, California, Illinois, because of some sourcing problems and other problems, they've not been able to come into the voluntarily. And there is federal legislation that being sponsored by and has been sponsored by Senator Enzi that's pending, however, when and if that'll ever pass is pure speculation.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Members of the 60th, on the issues that I and several others on revenue had with this bill, it's pretty simple. There's three things. First of all, on page 2, line 6, and throughout the entire bill is the phrase possession and control. We had testimony in committee from an attorney from D.C. who has his firm goes across the country looking at this issue, particularly digital goods, and it was his testimony that this goes far beyond what we have signed in our streamlined sales tax agreement, that this could very well put us out of compliance of that streamlined sales tax agreement. So that's number one, the issues with that. Number two, if you read the bill and you read things like possession and control, permanent use, and I'll give you an example. I'll try to do this. There's a piece of equipment. It's handheld that you can take and order and possess a book on it, and you can read the book. Now, you don't own the book, and here's an instance that it has actually happened where the person you purchased it from, a large online company, found out that they did not have the copyright to do this, and they went out and grabbed every book off of these handhelds. And the testimony in committee was that if you actually owned the book, the equivalent of that would be someone breaking into your house and taking it. So you don't actually possess, although you have it on this piece of equipment. So you can see how complex this situation is and how there's concern over the language in the bill. The third thing is this really is not a Wyoming bill for Wyoming, because what we're doing here is we are taxing Wyoming services. The example I just gave you of a large online company, and I can't say it, but we can't tax those. We'll be taxing and we'll be hitting Wyoming businesses, and for example, data services that we have in my county that are coming in have the potential to be taxed enormously over this. So those are three of my major objections, and I really encourage you to study this bill and to vote no on it.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also am concerned with this, and just ask a question to the good chairman. If I call up somebody, an attorney or a business, and I ask for some information, they research that, they send it back by an email, it's my information and I really need it and I'm glad to have it, is that taxable? So that's my personal information. I asked it over the internet on the phone. They send it back to me. I print it off. Is that taxable?
Thank you. Absolutely not, because for one thing, there's no sale. This is a sales tax on it, and there's no sales tax on attorney's fees either. So either way, if there was a tax on it, it would not be included in this bill at all. So that's the answer to that. And I think Representative Edmonds pointed out some things that you need to consider. I'm not necessarily a proponent of this bill or anti-proponent, but it was a committee bill, and the committee studied it pretty thoroughly. And how much sales tax revenue will come to the counties and the towns, and if we don't pass this bill and those things aren't taxed, is purely speculation. We have there's no records been kept of these specific products and how they were taxed. But it does make another exclusion. They're being taxed now. If we pass the bill, it will not change get us any more revenue. That's for sure, because these things are being taxed now by rule and regulation. If we don't pass the bill, then they will not be taxed. So there will be a loss of revenue, and I don't know how much.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I was a no vote originally in the committee, and I was, and when we heard it here during the session, former speaker articulated the major problems very well. The reason, intrinsically, the reason that I am asking you to vote no is that I really appreciate the cornerstones of taxation that has been adopted by the major taxpayers association in this state. And I've kind of made a personal commitment that I won't vote for any tax that doesn't meet all those cornerstones. And this one, in my opinion, fails at least three of them. Most prevalently, the first one, is there a justified need for the tax? And is it fiscally prudent? I'm not convinced of that. Another one, is the tax stable and predictable over changing political, economic, regulatory, and environmental conditions? I would have to say that the testimony that we've heard already indicates that this is a very complex issue area, and that things are changing at a rapid pace. And I think that calls for prudence. And finally, is it easy to understand, administer, and cost effective? I'm saying I don't understand it, and I've studied it a lot. So I would urge you all to proceed with caution and to vote no.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I didn't really want to get up and speak on this bill, because I don't like this bill. But I think I'm going to hold my nose and vote aye on this bill. And the reason is that, you know, right now the world's changing rapidly with the Internet. I bet the majority of us here have downloaded books, downloaded movies, downloaded songs, and paid for them on the Internet. Now, if you go to your Mammoth Records downtown Riverton and buy the same exact movie on a CD, I'm paying a sales tax on it. Do we want to encourage brick-and-mortar businesses in Wyoming, or do we want to just order them all off the Internet and close down Main Street? That's what we're really getting to with this type of bill. And, again, I don't like this bill, but it's not fair the way we're taxing the differences of these businesses. If they're out of state and online, frankly, out of the country, and online, you can download it and you don't pay any sales tax. I don't know how we're going to patch the potholes in the streets without taxation. Again, I don't like this bill, but I'm going to hold my nose.
Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The good representative from Fremont County really covered the issues that I wanted to. I'm not saying I really particularly like this bill either. I believe it's something we have to have. And the reason we do is because it really represents a change in the way that we do commerce in this country. And the testimony in committee from the department really indicated that if we don't recognize this as a new way of the way commerce is going to take place, we're going to continue to have an erosion of our sales tax. And that is very important to a lot of our communities. And the final point is simply it's an equity issue. The example that was used before relative to buying a book or buying this, you know, really there's no difference that I can see if you download a book on one of those devices. You have possession of it. There's really no difference there. We just need to recognize that commerce is changing, the way we purchase goods and services have changed, and I think this bill helps recognize that change in technology, and would ask that you support it. Thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you. The last two speakers have pretty well said what I'm going to say. So this is just a fairness issue, folks. We've got our local merchants. You know, we complain about the big boxes coming in and shutting down, closing down some of our small businesses, drive up and down Main Street America. And this is just we're just adding to these types of things that we're not collecting sales tax, but because we're not collecting sales tax, we're encouraging people to go online, buy these things, even though the sales tax may be only cents sometimes or a few dollars. But it takes sales away from our small businesses that are trying to make a go of it in a very tough economy. On and for the bill.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Madam Chairman, I'm owning for the bill. And if you really go back far enough, the President of the Senate led the task force for doing exactly what this bill is attempting to do. And also there's been some discussion about that it doesn't meet the needs or meet the requirements for a certain taxpayers association. I can't speak for all of them, but the one located in this state, the former executive director who now works for the state of Wyoming of that association was directly involved in supporting that whole task force and its attempt. And, you know, I know a lot of people like to or do not like to hear the leveling the playing field, but that's exactly what that does. And we have two very large internet organizations in this state don't pay any of the taxes that they should. And it's a sales tax that should be collected. Is there a need for it? What are we doing this year in the budget? We currently live in a boom and bust taxation system. Tax Reform 2000 was attempting to try to take care of that problem. It didn't totally take care of it, as we have discussed many times, but this is one way to level the playing field, because there's a heck of a lot of money out there that should be paid into the tax system, because sales tax is basically a lot of what this state lives off of, besides severance tax and property tax off minerals. So I urge you to support this bill.
Further discussion on the bill, Chairman Anderson.
Thank you. It's been a good debate, and I'm glad people admit that we don't like taxes. None of us do, but we also like the services that come with it. Now, again, let me explain. It will change things now if we pass it with that amendment. There will be less tax collected because we took off the temporary. Otherwise, it would be about the same. If you don't pass this bill, it'll be a lot or be less tax collected all the way around. And it is a fairness issue. You pay for those things if you buy them. And the whole streamlined sales tax, not only on internet sales, that's by far the biggest, but it also includes the catalog sales and other remote sales that come back to the state to where they're paid and belong. So with that, I would call for the question.
There further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Anderson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 29 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 29 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 57. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 57, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to underground public utilities. This bill was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Byrd, Kraft, Harvey, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Swanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 57 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the standing committee amendments. Additionally, I think it would be best if the person who explains the bill does that as we discuss it. So I would request that the good representative from Natrona County who worked on the bill and its development work on the bill.
Representative Stubson.
Madam Chairman, I will maybe take a few minutes to outline the bill, and then we can talk about the standing committee amendment, and there's also a Committee of the Whole amendment. The bill before you is really the product of a collaborative effort that took place over the interim. There were some discussions with committees by both excavators and operators of underground facilities. They came to us last year and said and asked for possible interim work on this bill and or on this statute to see if we could fix it. But when it wasn't taken up as an interim topic, a number of folks got together, which included a number of underground facilities operators around the state. The excavators were involved. The one-call system in the state was involved. And they worked through a series of meetings through the interim to really address the key problems with the current statute. And what the process they used is actually they'd go through, there was a whole host of issues to discuss, and if they couldn't reach a consensus on one of the issues, they just threw it out and moved on. And so what you see before you is the final product of those issues that all the affected parties could agree on and that needed change and the changes that they suggested. The bill does a couple of things. And the primary problem it deals with are repeat offenders who fail to comply with the underground facilities law. And that involves both sides of the equation, both the operators and the excavators. You have had a history where folks just simply ignore the law, and the penalty provisions currently under the law were, frankly, they have never been pursued because some of the procedural difficulties of doing that. But even the monetary amounts just weren't sufficient to deter people. You have a $5,000 penalty if there's a violation. And, for example, you may have an excavator that didn't call, and they just don't want to wait the 2 days for the locate. They figure it's cheaper even if they have to pay that than to wait. And so they dig on through the facilities, and it hasn't served as the disincentive as it needs to be. So the bill before you takes those penalties and recognizes that repeat offenders who regularly ignore the law, who regularly either as operators forget to join the one-call system or as excavators for just fail to call in for a locate, need to face increasing penalties if they just ignore it. And so the system adopted by this bill is if you're still your first violation, it's still the $5,000 penalty as it always has been. But if within a 12-month period you have a second violation, it jumps to up to $25,000. And if in that same 12-month period you have a third violation, you're still not following the law, it jumps to a cap, an up to $75,000 level. The other key things that this bill does with respect to the civil penalties is it changes who can seek those civil penalties. Currently under law, you just have district attorneys and the attorney general's office are the only ones that can seek it. This has not been a high priority for our law enforcement folks around the state. They've got a lot of things on their plate. And so even we heard testimony about there were specific instances where DAs were approached because of real problems, asked to prosecute this statute, seek the civil penalties, and they didn't do it. It just wasn't a priority. So what this bill does is it expands and allows basically the affected parties, the operators, the excavators, aggrieved parties that are damaged by a failure to follow the law to file and seek civil penalties. And the civil penalties, understand, don't go to the person that brings the complaint. They instead go to the common school fund, just as all many civil penalties across the statutes do. And so it is not a matter of compensating or incentivizing litigation. What it is a matter of doing is making sure that there is an incentive to follow the law. So that's sort of the first big change. The second change of significance is currently you only are penalized if you damage facilities. So if you're out there and you totally ignore the law, but you're lucky enough not to damage anything, or you fail to register with one call and you're just lucky enough not to have your facilities damaged, there's no penalty whatsoever under the law. This changes that and allows, it's a moderate penalty, it's a $500 civil penalty, but it allows for a penalty if you're ignoring the law, even if you're lucky enough not to cause damage. And then two final pieces. One is the bill sets up and explains clearly what the liability of the different parties are. If, for example, you're an excavator and you don't do your one call, and you don't get a locate and you dig through and damage facilities, you're going to be responsible for fixing those facilities, and you're going to be responsible for other damages that result from digging through those facilities. Similarly, if you're an operator and you don't join the one-call system and your systems are damaged, you don't get to blame the excavator. Instead, you're responsible for the damages and any damages. Maybe the excavator's injured because you didn't report those facilities. You're going to be responsible for those costs as well. And then the final piece of the bill is a portion at the end of the bill that spells out the responsibilities if there is a problem and if there is damage to underground facilities. And you can talk to folks and get anecdotal stories about the fact that, you know, they come across pipes a couple years later that have leaks because somebody's dug through them, kind of slapped them together, wrapped a lot of duct tape around them and put them back in the ground without telling anybody. The bill now says, listen, if you damage facilities, you have to notify the operator. You have to cooperate with the operator to deal with the situation. You can't conceal it. And so that's another important change. To jump back on to the standing committee amendment first, this makes two changes. One is a pretty, and both I would say are sort of clerical more than anything else. But if you look on page 2C, there was some confusing language on that provision that at the end, and so we just struck the confusing language and just left clear that civil penalties were in addition to other penalties offered under law. The other part of the standing committee amendment comes on page 7, and this was I consider a drafting error. It inserts the fact that if an excavator violates the statute, then they're held for the damages that follow. They're held accountable for the damages that follow. And this more closely mirrors what's in place already in the bill for operators. So with that, maybe we can have the question on the standing committee amendment.
Okay, you've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. You're ready for the question? All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We have a Committee of the Whole amendment. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 and ask for the same excellent kind of explanation that we've had in the past to continue with this proposed amendment.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This Committee of the Whole amendment originally is drafted, this bill contained a provision about hand digging, and it included certain distances from the locate, and there was some concern over that, and we had a lot of conversation, and I struck that from the bill you see before you. The language in Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 is really, again, some consensus language that it's important to folks that there's a mention in here that you have to do hand digging in some circumstances, especially if you're talking about fiber optic lines and you know you're close. You can't have a backhoe sort of feeling through to see if you're gonna hit it or not. So this consensus language just simply says, look, where it's reasonable, where it's necessary, reasonable care requires hand digging. And I'd take any questions on the amendment.
Questions on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1? Question having been called, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Stubson?
Madam Chairman, I'd be open for any questions folks may have on the bill now.
Representative Teeters.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. My first question has to do with current law, and I was not aware until this presentation that we currently have a $5,000 penalty for this sort of violation. Could I get the sponsor or someone else in the room to explain to me why that isn't working? And my other comment about this and the concern that I have with it is it appears to me as though it's creating a special class of property that gets its own set of penalties. In all other areas that I'm aware of, I think the way the system works is that you go to court and you try to recoup civil penalties through a lawsuit. And so I guess I can understand the necessity for this, and I understand there's a lot of thought that's gone in behind it, but I am concerned about the creation of a special class of property that is going to carry its own set of penalties.
Representative Stubson.
Madam Chairman, on the first question, the $5,000, there's a couple of reasons why it hasn't been working. And one is who can seek those civil penalties. And that limitation on just allowing the county attorneys or the attorney general's office to seek those penalties. They've simply been unwilling to do it, even in the most egregious of circumstances. So this allows other parties involved in the process to seek those civil penalties in the hope that in those egregious circumstances somebody will actually do it. With the amount also just simply hasn't proven sufficient enough. And remember, we're not changing that amount with respect to the first violation. It remains exactly the same as it has been for years with that first violation. What we're focusing on in this bill instead are those repeat offenders who see some financial advantage into not taking the delay of calling one call, having him waiting 48 hours for him to come out and do the locate, but instead we blast through the facilities, repair them, bury it, and move on. There's substantial, of course, a lot of people have an outage of services, and that's a substantial cost that excavator doesn't bear, but it's a real cost of his actions. And then there's a public safety issue that if you're going to blast into a gas line, for instance, there's real dangers there. And so we need a penalty scheme under the statute that incentivizes following the law and utilizing safe practices.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My understanding is a couple questions. The first one is, my understanding is that the civil penalties under this program are in addition to any damages that somebody might cause. And I understand that if you cut a 6-inch gas line, the damages just for the lost gas could be upwards of $40,000 an hour for every hour that gas leaks out of that 6-inch line. My other question is on page 5, the middle of the page, paragraph B, it says that the operator shall indemnify and defend the affected excavator against any and all claims or actions, if any, for personal injury, death, property damage, service interruption resulting from damage to the underground facility. And that's in the situation where the operator doesn't register with the one-call service. My question is, now that we've forced the operator to indemnify, does that indemnity extend even if the excavator doesn't use reasonable care? I mean, if the excavator knew there was a line there even without calling the one-call service, does the operator still have to indemnify them as a penalty for not registering?
Chairman Gingrey.
I will add to the questions. The first is over on page 4 in the civil penalty, and if you sort of break down the elements of what needs to be proven, I'm a little confused as to how you would prove this. The first element being on line 1 of page 4, underground facility. So that's your first element. Number 2, it says located in the service area. I couldn't find in the statute, but maybe I wasn't looking hard enough. I looked in the statutes, and I couldn't find a definition of what a service area is, so I wasn't sure how that was going to be proven. Then the third element is you have to damage, and then the fourth, that it's a result of your failure to join the notification center. Well, then when you go back and you read what that means to join just means signing up. It doesn't infer that you actually participated. And I guess I use the word participate to mean that you actually had someone come out and flag it. So potentially you could damage it, is how I'm reading this, and maybe I'm reading it wrong. You could actually do the damage, not have called the notification center, not have it flagged, but you're not in violation because you did join the notification center. So I'm just wondering if maybe like a word like participate would be a better word. And maybe I'm just reading that wrong, but I just wanted to point that out, that I'm not sure how that's going to be proven. Then number 2, I was just curious if there was any discussion as to set amounts for fines. I mean, right now, how I read this, it's the dollar, you know, per violation. I mean, it says up to, but, you know, clearly, you know, you could go in and ask for a dollar, and the judge could say, yeah, it's a dollar. I mean, if you wanted to get serious, should it just simply be, if you violate this, it's a $5,000 fine. I mean, a lot of times what you discover in a lot of these cases where there are civil penalties similar to this in the statutes, when you go back and you find out what the actual fine or the civil penalty was, it got reduced through argument, and it ends up being like $25 or something. So if the purpose was to get serious, then maybe actually take out the words up to and put in a set amount. And then lastly, I was concerned about at the bottom of page 4, line 16, it says, upon a first offense, the operator may be required by the court to complete an excavation safety program. It seems to be that should be maybe a shell, that if you're screwing up, that maybe you need to go take the safety class. There seems to be a lot of discretion being given, and potentially it looks like all this work will go for naught and people will just walk. And then my last question was, I'm just concerned, you know, presently a lot of these civil penalties are handled through the county attorney's office, and the argument that was made was that the county attorneys have not been doing their jobs properly. In many situations, the county attorneys look at the case and decide that it just doesn't have validity. It now, and a lot of times, the county attorney is that first part of the process where there's some discretion as to whether you proceed or not, so you're not clogging up the courts with cases that are unfounded. By expanding it now that any operator, excavator, aggrieved party, I'm not even sure, so it's pretty much a lot of people. So if my power got cut off, maybe I'm an aggrieved party. All these people can now come in and get civil penalties, and there seems to be no gatekeeper, and that's sort of what the county attorney sometimes serves as a purpose. I guess that was a lot of questions, but hopefully you got them all.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Point one of 20, I guess. And going back to, and I missed a question from the good representative from House District 5 about this being a special class of property. And this is a special class of circumstance, and we recognize that by erecting the one-call system. We recognize that there are public costs to these actions that we need to protect against, whether that be loss of service, whether that be the danger to folks as a result of these of cutting into underground facilities. And so this is a special class of issue, and we've recognized that by establishing the one-call system and saying, look, we can avoid all these costs to the public, to you and me, that we experience as a result of somebody cutting off gas service, cutting off phone service, whatever it may be, by taking a few steps on the front end, marking those facilities and making sure you take care to dig. There was a question on with respect to page 5 in the indemnity provision. And the way that works is if you're an operator, it's pretty black and white. If you're an operator and you don't join, you're required to join the one-call system, and you don't do it, and somebody's digging along and they get hurt as a result of your failure to register, you're going to be responsible for those damages and those injuries. And it serves as an extra incentive for operators to do what they're legally required to do, which is join the one-call system. And to me, it makes sense that, look, if you have not done that and you caught an injury results, then you need to be responsible for that injury. With respect to the questions on page 4, and see if I can, I may not hit them all, and if I don't, you can remind me if I miss some. But the elements of the civil penalty are you damage an underground facility and you're, for an operator, and, an underground facility is damaged and it's done because an operator failed to join. Those are the two things you have to prove. And then you get into the civil penalties provision. I would not want to monkey with the up to language simply because that was the consensus. That's what everybody could agree on, operators, excavators alike, that it gives some flexibility. And there is a provision in here on page 2, section B on page 2, that tells you what standards you look at when levying those civil fines. And is this an egregious circumstance? Is this a circumstance with this, where this is the eighth violation instead of the third? All those things can get rolled in so that you get a proper amount of civil penalty. And I guess I would take issue that the failure to enforce this act isn't simply a matter of prosecutors finding that the complaints aren't valid. I mean, there simply has been no enforcement of this act by the Attorney General or the county attorneys around the state. And I'm sure some of that is a gatekeeping function, and I'm sure some of that is finding circumstances where the law didn't apply. But a lot of it is this just isn't a priority with them. They've got bad guys to put away, and this doesn't rise to that level. By bringing in other folks and saying, hey, if somebody's repeatedly digging into your facility, now you have the ability to come in and get a civil penalty against them to disincentivize them from doing that again. And it doesn't go to me because I file suit against them. It goes to the school fund. But it does bring a tool into place to make sure that people follow the law, and I think that makes sense. So I think that hits some of the questions, maybe not all of them.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to say that I think this is a good piece of legislation, and we might have to make a few changes to get it right. But I just had a few questions, I guess, and I don't know if there's anywhere else under the statute where we say the county attorney or district attorney or the attorney general will seek a civil penalty. And I guess I kind of got confused because the bill's limited to public utilities. But I didn't know if that meant the same thing as a utility that's owned by a governmental entity, because I could see a county attorney or somebody getting involved. Some municipalities own their own utilities, and that, so I could see that's when a public attorney might get involved to enforce something like this. Otherwise, I would think that they could just pursue it if it was criminal activity. The other question I have is if you're going after damages, your venue is going to be dictated by statute. But why did we pick the district court for civil penalties versus, say, the circuit court?
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is not limited to public utilities. It applies to all underground facility owners. And there's some exemptions that are in statute and they don't reflect in the bill, but it applies to all underground facility owners, whether they're a public utility or not. And so the circumstance where you're talking about city-owned utilities or county-owned utilities, there is actually an express exemption from civil penalties for them. You can't go after civil penalties from your local city or county. But it does, the civil penalties provision would apply to everybody else. With respect to the selection of the court, I'm not sure that may be where the venue is currently under law, but I'll have to go back and look at that. But I'll get you an answer on that question. One other comment that I forgot to make with respect to the prior questions, and that was whether this just joining was enough. I mean, if you just join and you don't locate, then why, you know, maybe we should say it differently. In the rest of the statute not reflected in this bill, there are very clear requirements for those who join the one-call system. And, I mean, down to the number of hours that they get to do a locate. And so it's very clear under the law that you join the one-call system, you do the locate, and you have to do it within 48 hours. And all that's laid out in the rest of the statute, though it's not reflected in this particular bill.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know it's lunchtime, but just one more question. With that join participate, the reason I sort of keyed in on it, on page 3, line 6, you talk about governmental entities and that they need to participate in the notification center. And elsewhere in the bill, you talk about joining. I'm just wondering if you want to just be consistent with the words. And more importantly, with that section, subsection E, it says, this section shall not apply to any governmental entity which participates in the center. And then it goes on to say nothing in this article affects the Governmental Claims Act. I guess my question is, if I don't participate, so I'm a governmental entity and I don't participate, does that mean my immunity goes away? But more importantly, does that mean also my $250,000 limit goes away? I wasn't sure why that provision in there. It seemed to be that if the city did not participate, they lost all immunity.
Representative Stubson.
Madam Chair, I think it would you would be hard pressed to be able to argue that by not that you somehow waive your governmental immunity just because you don't participate. this language under E is just frankly it's just identical language to what's in the statute right now. It was pulled out. The penalty provisions that you see under Section 306 here, we took Section J under the current statute 302 and pulled it out and built on it. And so some of these provisions. E is among them are language that is identical and that is found currently in statute.
Further discussion, Chairman Lockhart.
Call for the question.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 57 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 57 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We will rise and sit again at 2 p.m. Chairman Elloway.
Thank you. Your Committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet right now. Immediately upon recess in House 18, we're going to discuss House Bill 90, Insurance Service Contracts, House Bill 108, Health Insurance Reform, House Bill 128, Health Insurance Interstate Purchase, and if we have time, House Bill 125, Subdivisions, Separately Acquired Properties.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 2 will meet at 12:30 to hear re-referred bill, House Bill 61, Legal Services Funding. And then at 1 o'clock, we will do our final review of the proposed budget. And at 4 o'clock, we will have a meeting in appropriations in regards to agency vacancies and at-will positions. Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At 12:45... So in 30 minutes. At 12:45, we'll take up House Bill 113, Concealed Weapon Authority, and House Bill 38, Driving Under the Influence Amendments. And then this evening at 4 o'clock, or whenever upon adjournment, we'll take up House Bill 28. We'll take up House Bill 95. House Bill 95, Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act 2, and any of the bills we didn't quite get to at lunchtime. And then tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in H8, we'll take up House Bill 83, Crimes and Offenses, Restrictions for Adult Sex Offenders, House Bill 75, Loss of Parental Rights, Homicide of Spouse, and House Bill 94, Real Property Easements.
Chairman Childers.
Madam Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet Wednesday morning, February the 17th. 8 a.m. in room H10 to cover the following bills. House Bill 47, NEPA and ESA Review. House Bill 99, Public Records Wolf License, Hunting Licenses.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee member number 9, Business Minerals, Business, and Economic Development will meet tomorrow morning at 7:30 at room H18 to hear 5 bills, House Bill 111, Electric Transmission Considerations of Regional Issues, House Bill 60, UPMIFA Expenditure Limitation, House Bill 97, Nuclear Energy Production Study, House Bill 59, Workforce Services Amendments, and House Bill 85, Economic Development Reporting.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just like to remind everybody of the invitation you got to a luncheon by our former Ag Committee Chair, gubernatorial candidate. We'll be in the Wyoming State Museum right now. There's a luncheon for that. Thank you.
The House is in recess until 2 p.m.